This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Brasol joins us on the line. Brasol, good evening to you. How are you?
Great, and how are you, my brother? And good evening to the Power listeners.
Yeah, good evening, man. The president was speaking today, no sign language interpreter. Is it something that rubbed you off the wrong way, Brasol?
Indeed, but I also love the humor of South Africans. Already on social media, there's a joke circulating that they have stolen the money that was for the tender.
That's why there was none today. That can't be...
No, South Africans are highly ingenious.
Absolutely. But, you know, who can say that's a wrong assumption, you know?
It's true. I just love our people. But indeed, it's taking us back, especially that the commission for the rights of minorities, it's already looking at sign languages as one of the three languages that should be recommended to Parliament for approval as our 10, 11, 12 official languages. The other one, which is interesting, is the Khoisan and Kolobedu. Which is very interesting.
Absolutely. So today, International Day of Persons with Disabilities. How big, how important, and have we done justice from the 3rd of November to today?
There were a number of engagements, but I would say that looking back in all those engagements, there were very serious gaps that need to be looked at. And for me, the most worrying thing was the positioning of issues affecting disability people and also the profiling of persons with disabilities. For me, the biggest one was the conference hosted by Stellenbosch University. It was an international conference. I was also invited to chair one of the panels, and there were scholars from all over the world. But for me, I have three glaring gaps that I think I've identified, and they need to be addressed in future. The first one relates to economic empowerment of people with disabilities. And I will speak to this one at the end because it also touches on my own experience. The second one is social reintegration. Nobody talks about how people with disabilities could fully be reintegrated into the community. And the last one, and Power listeners will also remember, I once raised this when some of the callers came in and attacked other advocacy groups. And I was saying that perhaps going forward, we need to have a peer dialogue, you know, a comradely discussion between persons with disabilities and their organizations. We need to get together as one to address internal issues before we can begin to address all other issues that are raised externally outside of our community. So with the first one, the social reintegration, my experience is that people with disabilities are always thrust into a struggle, whether consciously or subconsciously, against being othered, not just in social platforms such as familial, romantic, and friendly relationships, but also in general gatherings. you know, othering it's the society being divided into two, where you have the in group and the out group. And the in group is always spoken about as that group of privileged people who have the right to exclude those who are considered in the outside group.
Mm.
And the in group believes that they have every right to marginalize those who don't belong to their group, the so-called the other, because they consider the other's identity to be lacking and therefore should be subjected to discrimination. And this happens not only even in churches. Some time ago, I spoke about this colleague who, a friend of mine who is wheelchair bound, who has stopped going to church.
Mm.
And when I asked her, why do you stop going to church? And she said, the problem is that when she goes to church, the priest takes it for granted that she came for miracles. And all the priests will rush to her, and they will all start praying for her, touching her legs.
Mm.
And then she says sometimes she'll be so irritated to be tempted to scream, to say, hey, stupid fellows, the problem isn't with my legs. I had a spinal injury because the legs are controlled by the spine. But basically she's saying, I go to church to go pray like any other person.
Mm.
Not that I expect miracles, that by the time I leave that church, I will be back on my feet.
Yeah, not that she's going to church to walk properly. She's going to church to, you know, pray like any other person, I suppose.
To pray just like any other person, because she knows the spinal injuries she has suffered will never be cured for her to be able to walk. So she has accepted the fact that she will never walk again in her entire life. And medical science has said that to her.
Yeah.
So,
Brasol, I thought it is also important for us to invite Opa Mapoto. Opa Mapoto is one person that appreciates what you've been doing on this platform, right? And Opa has got his own other suggestions as well that he spoke about. And I thought it would be important to speak to him. I don't know if you guys have interacted already.
No, we haven't met, but your colleagues introduced him to me, and I Googled him, and I've been chasing after him on all social media platforms.
Beautiful.
And your colleagues have just informed me they've been struggling to get hold of him.
No. He's on the line.
He's on the line. Oh, that's wonderful.
Beautiful.
Okay. Then I also get him to accept my LinkedIn friend request, my Facebook everywhere. Then we will talk from now onwards. I realize he's with the Department of Water Affairs, I think.
Beautiful. Opa, Ebraopa, how are you?
I'm all right. And how are you doing?
I'm good. I told you, Brasol is a very easygoing guy. You see, listen to how nice he's talking about you already.
I'm actually very suspicious.
I'm very
suspicious, but I'll confirm my suspicion in
that
time.
So, Braopa, we've been talking here with Brasol, also reflecting on the day that is today. I mean, one of the issues that we've picked up is that there was no sign language interpreter today when the president was speaking. How did you find that? Is it something that you've noticed as well?
Yes, you're quite right. I have noticed that, and you would as well wonder in terms of the Department of Women, Children and Persons with Disabilities, how would they miss such a critical sector? which involves our persons that have got hearing impairments. So yes, that was my observation as well, which is regrettable.
Yeah. Brasol, maybe yes. Just speak to Braopa about this comradely conversation that you also think it's something that perhaps needs to happen.
Yes, my discomfort is that we are marginalized as a community. And I don't know whether it's a struggle to compete for the limited resources that are available to us, that we try to elbow each other. I've listened to a number of radio stations and also in conferences where you will hear some of us throwing stones at institutions such as the DPSA. And power listeners will remember previously I made an intervention that we are not going to criticize any institution as long as it isn't part of our panel and they could be given the right to respond to the criticisms. But for me, I think we also need to self-reflect as a community to say, what is it that we have done so far? What still needs to happen? And how, as a collective, do we go out into the world and to confront all the challenges we are facing as a community? I don't know what's the UPA's take on this one.
Brasol, if I may respond, yeah. You're quite right. And this Brasol has been existing a little bit for quite some time. But recently when I called into the station, I made a clear indication to Prati that don't worry, we are a very organized sector. The only thing is that probably we, as you are indicating, we probably are trying to grab quite a number of fat opportunities or the quick wins that are available at the expense of our unity at times. And we do not want to leave a message in the sector today on this radio platform that says we do not agree. Probably we are just differing in thoughts, but we are probably common in direction, and we are common in terms of purpose of where we would want to see ourselves going. And I think this causes a lot of strain on the whole sector. I was speaking to a number of few activists today, like Brasol. I think you are aware of Ari Serlis in Durban from Kwasa. Now he has actually left Kwasa as a CEO. He's no longer there. And I spoke to Ravin as well, who is as well one of the activists as well with Kwasa. And I've realized that what we need, you're quite right, we need to self-reflect. And if this is to be mobilized among ourselves, probably in the course of next year, whereby we do not even really need to be gathered together, purely being assisted by government, but on our own, with our own groups, own organizations, our own finances where it is possible, so that we will come up with a robust output that will have nothing to be leaning towards the government because they would have financed the conference or anything. But I'm for it, Brasol, if we are to put it together. And I will speak with you as well that we consider that.
Perhaps let me jump in there, Brasol, before you maybe go in there, Brasol, because I wanted to ask a different question.
Okay, sure, Machi. I was going to say that my slogan is multiple voices but communicating a single message. So we need diverse voices, all of us using multiple platforms, but all of us should be communicating one message. So from that dialogue, we should be able to craft a single message that all of us will be able to communicate, representing all of us as a collective.
You're quite right, Brasol, because one thing that I've just seen, we have a top structure such as the National Council for Persons with Disabilities. And I know that one of the messages that they've been formulating towards government and private sector was coming a little bit more common, but it just got disintegrated. I don't know what happened, but we are losing that composure. We are losing that one in bringing that message across. But Vati and Brasol, it doesn't mean we are a sector that do not know what we want. We just need to mend it together and bring it as a common program.
Yeah. So, Braupa, here's my question, and to you as well, Brasol. I mean, to what extent do you also integrate society as well? Because, I mean, I had a child with a disability. That integration as well is quite a process, right? We also have other children as well who are able, bodied as well, who also have to rally around the sibling of theirs as well, and there are neighbors and all of that. Companies as well, you know, architects as they conceptualize on these buildings, employers, people that offer assistance to small business sectors as well, they also need to be a part and parcel one way or the other on this particular issue that you say needs, you guys need to rally around one another and speak with one voice. But, you know, to what extent are you also working on integration as well?
It relates to how the society profiles us. I indicated earlier on that one glaring gap from all the activities that happened throughout the month, there was no discussion around the economic empowerment of people with disabilities. And I'm saying this because we are profiled as social welfare cases. And for me, the fact that we are also seen as part of, to a large extent, I think the Department of Social Development was the most outspoken throughout the month. Now, it is good, we appreciate that, but at the same time, inadvertently, it links us to social grants. And I'm saying, even though some of us may not be economically empowered in terms of getting jobs, as such, they will rely on social grants. But they shouldn't brush us all, black, saying all people with disabilities therefore have to rely on social grants. And I also have a problem with learnerships and internships, because most of them are designed for people with disabilities, because I get so many invitations from this company saying that we have a learnership internship, please apply. And you look at the stipend they're paying. And then I say, by the way, this program is going to enrich this company or this individual who doesn't have any disability. So they are using our community to empower themselves. Mm. And I also, that's why I said I'll also speak about myself. I'm quite experienced. I've been working for 30 years. I have 5 university degrees, 2 at master's level. The 1 master's from VES, the 2nd master's is University of Liverpool. I've served as South Africa's consul general to Italy, and I only became disabled in 2016. But suddenly, after I became disabled, many people, including my former colleagues, my proteges, suddenly doubt if I could be able to do what I could do before I became disabled. Mm. And then I say, if with all my qualifications, with all my experience, with all my networks,
yeah,
I'm encountering all these problems, what about an ordinary person with disability from an obscure village?
Yeah, very profound.
It means that, all those will be shut right in front of their eyes.
Yo, very profound there, Brasol. Ebra Opa, I'm sure you want to come in as well on this one.
Yes, bro, just briefly to go a little bit zoom into your question. And Brasol is quite right. I think one of the things that we, what we need to do, which I think will assist the sector even more, is that as and when we develop our mainstreaming formulas and outlining our mainstreaming expectations as a sector, it will be very important, because the very same formulas we will be developing will have to be absorbed in the so-called able-bodied society, where everyone will probably be perceived to be normal, as it's normally said. But as we bring in these proposals, we are going to be bringing them and implementing. Some of the implementers are those that are probably your able-bodied directors, able-bodied chief directors and directors in the private sector.
Mm.
And unless we bring much of deeper awareness, and I'm happy that the president today, when he addressed the working committee, presidential working committee on disability, he highlighted that he has raised the issue of disability as well, if I heard him quite correctly.
Yeah, of course, he did.
Yes, highlighted that into the performance agreements of our different ministers. And my worry is that even the DGs or the director generals that are now implementing what the ministers and the government has planned would have to be tightened a little bit more harder. I know they are, most of them. I'm working for a government department of water and sanitation as well, and working there as a deputy director on disability and gender and disability issues. But I can tell you now, it has taken us a long journey to just infuse these requirements on employment equity or even on inclusivity of persons with disabilities in our program. So I do support and concur with Brasol on that.
Brasol,
in fact, it will even be scandalous if you were to say what the target is. Do you know what the target is, Taviso? It's 2%.
Yes, and it cannot be reached.
We still struggle. Yeah, we still struggle to reach a mere 2%.
So guys, I one of the issues that I wanted to raise, and I know we've got limited time, Brasol, I'll start with you. Maybe I must start with you, Ebra Opa, is the voice of young people within your community. I don't get to hear much of that. Is there a particular reason?
Let me just say, before I could just say is there a reason, but there's a young lady who was interviewed as an ambassador for young people with disabilities recently on the SABC program with Leanne. And the girl, before she could even begin to speak, because she has a disability that links as well to her speech, she then, when she was just about to start, the girl just started with crying. That's all that she did. That was very emotional. It touched my heart so deeply. And the girl was saying, we are coming to celebrate International Disability Day again this year. And every month, she still has to go and obtain a doctor's letter that confirms that she has a disability, so that she's able to benefit probably from a grant or everything. Actually, every 3 months, I'm sorry. So you can still see the things we are being subjected to, and particularly the young ones. But I'm happy that the young voices are rising, Bratavito, and I think very soon you'll profile some of these youngsters.
Well, we have through Brasol as well. But Brasol, I know you are also. This is something that you've always been active in, young people.
Yes.
I mean, I even became your friend as a young person at some point.
Yes. Just to say, why are we not seeing them on board?
Absolutely.
One of the reasons is that those of us who have already progressed a bit in the society with disabilities, we are probably over relaxing. That they do not even see much to learn from us as leaders. In the speech of the president today, he said, when I see Spiskekana, I see more young people willing to see themselves in leadership. And the question is, when you see Obama Porto, what more as a young person are you about to rise
absolutely.
And become a leader as well one day in a society
absolutely.
Such as ours?
I'll give you the last shot on this one, Nebrasol, before we wrap up.
Yeah, I'd say we need to give platform to many successful persons with disabilities so that they could be role models
yeah.
to the young ones. That is Steve Kikana said that he was to launch a campaign to visit all the schools, and I think that campaign needs to be supported because he goes to all these schools that are designated for the young ones with disabilities, and he sends a message to them that I was able to make it, and you too will be able to make it. More especially for him, he made it when government wasn't supportive to persons with disabilities. Now we have a constitution that empowers us, and it should be easier for the young ones to be able to grab all the opportunities presented by the country.
What an important discussion, gentlemen. Thank you so much. Braupa, thank you so much for coming through as well. I hope it's not the last time we interact.
You know, Bratavis, we are forever together.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
Brasol. No, thank you, Braupa. And do accept my friend request. Then we will
do all I can, but we definitely will communicate.
Beautiful stuff. Brasol, I hope you on Desertas come 2021 as well.
No, I'm still very much involved in this and on full-time basis, by the way,
Beautiful. Yes. Brasol, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you so much.
Oh, yo, before you go, Brasol.
Yeah.
There's a chap called Curtis.
Yeah.
Curtis says, Brasol's communication and diplomatic knowledge are much needed in our country. Having worked under his leadership, without a doubt, I can tell that he's capable. The challenges he recently went through doesn't take away his skills and knowledge. So this is somebody that says that he worked under you and they appreciate what you've done for them, which is
Thank you so much. Okay.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thanks, my brother. That's Rasole Mulobi there.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.